Okay, we're starting here at the top of Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph. The Gemara left off with the issue about how can you have a case of knas? When a person in a case of me'anes, how can you have a case of knas? Because when he is me'anes, the woman, he is subject to the rules of a rodef. He's subject to the rules of the rodef, then he's a bar ktalo. If he's a bar ktalo, he doesn't have to pay the knas. So the Gemara gave numerous answers as to what the possibility is of how he was not a bar ktala, and therefore he'd be chayav in knas. The last one that we dealt was the Baya's reasoning. So Baya amar, b'chol latzilo b'achad me'averav. B'chol latzilo, you could save him by not killing him, but rather just simply maiming him. So by maiming him, he's not a bar ktala. If he's not a bar ktala, then obviously he can be chayav the knas, because it's not a problem of misa and tashlumim at the same time, mita and tashlum at the same time. For Rabbi Yonatan ben Shaul, and that is the sheet of Rabbi Yonatan ben Shaul, the Tanya, we have a brice, so Rabbi Yonatan ben Shaul omer, Rodef, Sheh Rodef, Achar Chaviro, Lohorogo, Viachol Atzilom, Viachad Me'evarav, Velo Hitzil, Neherag Alav. You're chayav misa, meaning that if you have the ability to stop the Rodef, in his tracks, stopping the rodef is not just a blank check, you know, to stop the rodef any way you like. Stopping the rodef is that you have to take caution and exercise control on how you are stopping him. So if you have the ability to do it in a manner, or there's the opportunity to do it in a manner which will stop him without killing him, then you're obligated to do such. And if you don't, then you're chayav mita, meaning that you've killed someone who was innocent. Your permission to kill the rodef only extends to the fact that that's the only way to stop him. It does. There are other ways to stop him than you have required to stop him. We had this earlier in the Gemara, right? When with Yoav ben Tzruya, they want to know why he killed Amasa that way. Why didn't he say you could have saved him? Echad me'averav. So why did you go ahead and kill him? So there he said he was a gol adam. He had other reasons, but that was the Gemara asked the same question: is that you're obligated to take caution or precaution when it comes to rodef. So my time with Rabbi Yonatan ben Shaul, what's the source for his reasoning? Dichtiv. It says in Parshat Mishpatim, Michli Anatzu Anashim, two people are fighting. Two men are fighting. As Vam Rabbi Lazar ben Matzut Shibemitaka to Medaber. I mean, we're talking about death blows over here. We're talking about a fight that is not just, violence. We're talking about here that they're trying to kill each other. Because, how do I know that? Because of the continuation of the pasuk. The pasuk says, imasoniye, if someone is killed, right, then, ventata nefesh tachan nefesh, then there's going to be a death penalty here. Vafilu hachi, despite that, amar achmana, v'lim lo yason, if there is no death here, anoshi anesh, then he's got to pay money. Now, what's the case here? It actually involves a third party, which is that they go to bring a death blow to the other individual, and they happen not to hit the other individual, but they happen to hit a pregnant woman. So when they hit this pregnant woman, there are two possible outcomes. One outcome is that they actually kill this pregnant woman, or the other possibility is that they don't kill the pregnant woman, they cause her to miscarry the vladot that she has. So now the question of whether you're going to be chayav for the vladot depends on what happens to the woman. If the woman is killed, in this instance by a death blow, then that's what it says, imasoniye, then the only thing that here is there's capital punishment, meaning that there's a death penalty for the individual who killed the woman. That is subject to machlokas about why there's a death penalty here. One opinion in the Gemara and Baba Kama is that because even if you intend for someone else and you hit a third party, you're still chayav. I mean, if you intended to kill, you just happen to kill the wrong person, you're still chayav. Right, that's one possibility of why you are chayav over here. And the other possibility is that it's a gzirat katuv over here, that you're chayav when you hit the woman in this instance. According to one who says that when you go to kill one person, you kill another, that you're not chayav generally. Over here, you are chayav. Now, he goes and hits the woman. So the Torah gives you two possibilities. The woman's killed, then there's capital punishment, you get the death penalty. The woman is not killed, then you are chayav for the demei vladot. You're chayav for the value lost in the woman, the cause for the miscarriage. Now, when he is going to hit, and they attempt to hit, now he's not trying to hit the woman, he is trying to hit the other individual. At that moment, he is a rodef. At that moment, he's trying to kill the other individual, he becomes a rodef. If he's a rodef, at that moment, he's a bar ktola. He's a bar ktola, and he hits the woman instead, and then she miscarries. So you have someone who's a bar ktola, and then miscarries, he's paying money. Why should he have to pay money? He had a death warrant on his head. He had a death penalty for going to try to or attempting to kill another individual.
But it's obvious that it's not a mitzvah if you didn't kill.
No, but you are allowed to prevent him from killing. If he's going with a death blow, even though in the end he doesn't kill, but at the moment that he goes with a death blow, you can stop him by killing him. So he's a chayav mitah. At that moment, he's chayav mitah. True, if he doesn't kill in the end, then he's not going to be chayav mitah. Then you'd pass the point of rodef. But at the moment of rodef, he puts his fist up, he's ready to punch him, I mean, for a death blow, you can kill him at that moment because he's a rodef.
No, okay,
so. So he should be patur from the mamon. Why is he paying mamon to this woman? Well, you can't be chayav mitah and also be chayav mamon. You don't have to actually be chayav mitah. Even if Shogu kill him, you don't have to actually be chayav the onesh mitah. Right, subject to capital punishment, that's all. That does have to be, that when we dealt with yesterday, we talked about the different reasons behind rodef. And one of them was onesh, and that would relate to kimle derabim mine, meaning that you could apply kimle derabim mine, might only apply if there is a tzad onesh to it. But alright, here, so now the Gemara says, so what's the case then? So now, let's say, yonesh, yamar bishlamar yachol atzil becha me'avirav, lo nitan latzilo b'nafsho, hainu mishkach alo. Yanesh, I got the case for you. What's the case? That you have the ability to stop this rodef from killing the other individual by simply maiming him. Then he doesn't have a capital punishment. He doesn't have a death warrant on his head. Why? Because you can prevent the rodef here by simply maiming him. So there, if that's the case, he's not a bar ketala. If he's not a bar ketala, then he should be chayav to pay. That even if you have the ability to maim him and stop him, still you have the right to kill him, then how do you ever have a case where he's going to pay money? Every time he goes to give a death blow, right there, he's always going to be patur from paying. Wait a minute. This case is in the classic case of rodef. Why? Because the mita lezeh v'tashlim lezeh. We're talking about killing one and paying someone else. Who is he trying to kill? He's a rodef, legabe, the individual he's fighting with. That's who he's a rodef to. That's why he's chayav mita. And that's it. The mita has nothing to do with who's the tashlumim to? The tashlumim, or even if he hits the woman, and the woman's going to be the one who dies, who does the money, who's the compensation go to? It doesn't go to the woman, it goes to her husband. So you're talking about a death penalty or a death warrant on his head, that is either derived from the person he's fighting with, or even if it's derived from the woman, is one party. And there's a second party who's getting paid, which is the husband of this woman. So why? Maybe they just no connection. Maybe the reason he's paying over here is because he's paying to someone else. He's not paying to the individual who he could have killed. So then where it says, wait a minute, loshna, doesn't make a difference, because damarava, rodef she'er rodef achar chavero v'shiber et ha'kelim. Ben shel nirdaf, ben shel kol adam patur. A person who's chasing after an individual to kill them, and on that way he destroys property, whether it's the property of the one he is chasing, of the victim, or whether it's the property anybody's property, he is patur. By taima, why? Because mitchayev bin nafsho. Who? He's his life's on the line, because anybody can kill him at this moment to stop him, therefore he's patur from any tashlumim of mamon. So here you have a proof, by the way, that has nothing to do with who the party is, because he can destroy third party's property, and he will be patur. V'nirdaf, now on the other hand, nirdaf, shishibar takelim shodev patur. Nirdaf, who destroys the property of the rodef, there he's patur, because obviously the rodef, if he doesn't care about his own life, certainly doesn't care about his own mamon. On the other hand, shokol adam chayav, where if he destroys third-party property, there he is chayav, because that's matzil atzmo b'mamon chaveiro. You're saving yourself by destroying other people's property. Why? Shal rodef patur shleim amano chavila v'migofo. Right? So then, why is he patur from the rodef? The rodef now has been machkir his life. Anybody can kill him at this moment. So now, but his life is going to be not dear to him, but his mamon will be dear to him? No, you can't have that. Shokol adam chayav shematzil atzmo b'mamon chaveiro. Because he's using other people's property to save himself. In that case, you are chayav to recompensate in that instance. Virodef. Shaya rodef. Achara rodef. So now we have someone's running, after Reuven is running after Shimon to kill him. And of course, Levi jumps in to prevent Reuven from killing him. So that's rodef, achara rodef. What's the din of Levi now when he's chasing down Reuven to stop him from killing Shimon? What's his din? So atzilov yishiber takelim. Bench rodef, bench nirdaf, bench kol adam patur. There, he is patur, no matter what. Velo min hadin. Not really, he shouldn't be patur. It's really, he really should be chayav in this case. Ah, why is he patur? Who's gonna take the risk of being a good Samaritan over here and chasing down the Rodef? Because he has a risk of becoming, you know, incurring huge liabilities. Right? He's chasing down the Rodef to stop him, and on the way he, you know, does damage to property. He's gonna actually now incur huge liabilities. Nobody's gonna put themselves in such a position to stop a Rodef. So the Chachamim, in order to allow a person, it's basically the Good Samaritan rule, which is the Good Samaritan rule, is that if you're going to do something good, we're not going to hold you culpable or liable in this situation. You're going to chase the Rodef to stop this person from killing the victim. So over here, we're going to say you're patur from destroying property along the way in order that you will do it. If we don't allow you to do this, then people will just refrain from protecting the victims. They'll never go in there. They'll never stop the Rodef because they are at too much risk of losing money. They can incur huge liabilities on the way.
The property of the road, he'd be put there from anyway, right?
Right, I don't know. The Gemara says limited din about all of them, but I would agree that the Rodef's property should be patur, because it should be the same logic that if his gufo is not chaviv alav, then mamono should not be chaviv alav. I would agree with you that for the Rodef, and maybe even the Rodef's property, he might be patur, because the victim should say, listen, you know, he saved his life. Why'd you, right, exactly. I'm saying possibly, and those two cases, but third-party property, that's where you'd run into a problem. The Gemara just makes a blanket statement. Gemara does not differentiate between those different properties. But right, in the end, the Gemara says that Mimika, that they had the Good Samaritan rule, that if you're going to do the right thing, we're not going to make you culpable in these cases, we're not going to make you chayef. All right, now. Avrodef achara behema. Someone's chasing down a behema. Our Mishnah says, no din of Rodef here. Tanya Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai Omer. Shimon bar Yochai says that if he's chasing, or he's running to do avodah zarah, you can kill him. Mikal v'chomer. So it's clear here that Shimon ben Yochai, right? Then we have his son, Rabbi Elozer Shimon, in a second. Clear, focused on the avera that is going to be committed. Otherwise, when you're not saving any victims over here. The only victim is the perpetrator of the crime, right? So you're saving him from doing the avera. So, v'kav v'chomer, ma p'gam hejot nitan atzilo b'nafsho, p'gam gvoa lo koshke, when it comes to p'gam of a hejot, by an aram ratza, we say, or by ritzicha, we say, kill him to stop the p'gam that he's going to perpetrate on the victim. So, if that's the case, the p'gam gvoa, where he's going to, right, go and worship a varezara, which is the biggest b'gida in a Kodesh Baruch, of course, he should be able to koshke, and that he should be able to stop him from doing such an act. So, it says, chiyon shimin adin. Since when do you punish Mikal v'chomer? So Mar says, Kasavar onchin min adin. He holds onchin min adin. So I'd say two things here. One is, just from yesterday's discussion about the different reasons why a Rodef is chayav, the fact that the Gemara uses the term onchin min adin sounds like the Rodef is getting an onish. Right? And that the onchin min adin is that you want to give him a punishment based on a kal v'chomer. Right, so that already conjures up what we discussed yesterday, which is that maybe you are acting on behalf of Beis Din to give this person the onish that they deserve because of the action that they are taking over here. So that's an onish. Right, that's one thing I would say. The second thing is just because Matzah Shabbos is Lag BaOmer, and this is Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. That's interesting. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai almost l'shita tel. Because remember, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai's refrain is Menichim Chayi Ola, Menichim Chayi Olam Veoskim Chayi Shah. How could it be that people would be osek in olam hazeh? And he says this gama, you know, also by tefillah versus limud Torah. How can people daven when they could be learning Torah? Ech mechnim v'oskim b'chayishah. It says this when they come out of the cave with his son. They see the people working the fields. He goes, how could it be? How could they be doing this? But you see that he clearly, you know, Reb Shimon bar Yochai and his view, the, you know, how he viewed gvoa versus hejot, to him, that the fact that a pgam hejot is considered to be a problem, pgam gvoa would certainly be something of a problematic. I mean, that's really Reb Shimon bar Yochai's whole view of the world, that he very focused on chay olam, everything was focused on Torah.
Sense of justice.
Right, he did. He also was very much that way. Although Reb Shimon bar Yochai is also the Baal HaMemra of Dovar Shenu Mitzkavin. Which that he does have kavona is important to Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, but he does believe in this, right, very, very much strict justice, right, everybody, Torah, Kodesh Baruch Hu's kavod is primary, right, that's very much Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. It's also the story about the cave, how he ended up in the cave. When they spoke about the Romans, he spoke exactly what he thought about the Romans. He didn't withhold his words over there about the Romans. So that was the, just Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, the Shittato. even though it's somewhat difficult to understand why we are oskim b'chai shah to celebrate Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai's yahrzeit. All right, Tana, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon. So Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, who's the son of Rabbi Shimon Yochai, Omer ha-mechalot to Shabbat nitan latzilo b'nafsho. Someone's mechal Shabbos, you can kill him. Sarvalaki avua. He had to hold like his father. Damar onshin min adin. Number one, that he says onshin min adin. And number two is he has to hold like his father, that avodah zarah is also nitan, right, to kill the rodev. Why? Because he had to Shabbos chilul chilum avodat kochavim. Because he's learning out of gzeirat shava of chilul chilum from Shabbos to avodat kochavim. So you must believe that avodat kochavim is a din of rodev in order to have a din of rodev by Shabbos. So anyway, otherwise, gzeirat shava is meaningless. I mean, okay, it's like avodah zarah. Well, avodah zarah is not a din of rodev, so too Shabbos is not a din of rodev. So we discussed this yesterday, but it has to be according to, of course, clearly according to Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, he's holding like his father in these two instances, both of onshin min adin, and number two is that avodat kochavim is also subject to rodev, and that's how he extends it to Shabbos. Amar Rabbi Yochanan mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yehotzadak nimnu v'gamru be'aliyat beit nitzeh b'lu'od. So this is a halacha, the famous halacha. We've touched on it tangentially until this point. Here it becomes explicit, and here there's a lot of Torah to speak about. I'm going to try to point out to you all the nuances, try to get a lot of the exciting halachot that come out of here to point them out to you as we read. I'll show you some of the Rashis and so on and so forth. But here's the basic halacha. Kol averot shebatorah im omrim ladam avor v'al te'areg, yavor v'al yehareg. Meaning that a person, if they say to a person, you have a choice, either we're going to kill you, or you do such and such an aveira, do the aveira and do not give up your life. Chutz, the exception to the rules. Avodat chachavim, kiluy arayot, ushfichut amim. The three cardinal sins, right? The three large sins that you're not allowed to violate, even at the cost of your life. So this is the first question. Most of the Rishonim believe over here, but the Gemara says that kol averot shebatorah im omrim la'adam avor v'al te'harog, yavor v'al yehareg, right, al yehareg, right, meaning that you should and do not be killed. The option is open to you. What it means is v'chai v'hem is that you have the option to violate the aveira, because the Torah would never ask of you or require of you to give up your life in these instances. But if you voluntarily give up your life, that would still be classified or considered a Kiddush Hashem, that you're willing to give up your life for the mitzvot, even though it's not required. The Rambam has the shita, right? The Rambam has the shita that a person who gives up their life where they are not required to give up their life is chayav mita, or he committed suicide. That it's chayav ben nafsho. He wasn't required to give up his life, and he gives up his life. That means like you killed yourself. You shouldn't have done this. You committed suicide. There was no reason for you to do this. So that has obviously a big nafkamino, the halacha, but it's a stark contrast in the Rishonim about whether this is simply a heter, that you do not have to give up your life, but if you do, that's fine. Or according to Rambam, it's an obligation not to give up your life. You must not give up your life. The other way around, both the Rambam and the other Rishonim agree that in the three cardinal sins, if you do not give up your life and you violate the sin, that you're not chayav mitan, that way you're not chayav karet. I mean, you did it under duress. You're an onus in that. Then clearly we're not going to. You're not culpable or liable. I mean, obviously midei shamayim you might be, but Beis Din's not going to punish for those items because it was clearly done under duress. And now, vavodat kachavim lo. Is it really true by vodachamim that you have to give up your life? Vatanya. We have a brisa. Amar Rabbi Shmuel Minayim Shemamar Lo Adam Avor Avodat Kochavim V'Al Te'Areg. Worship Avodah Zarah and don't be killed. Minayim Sheavod V'Avod V'Al Yareg. How do I know you should do the Avodah Zarah and not be killed? Tomal Omar V'Chai Behem V'Lo Sheimot Behem. You gotta live by the mitzvot, not die by the mitzvot. Yechol Afilu B'Farhesya. Right? It's true, even in public. Tomal Omar V'Lo T'Chalu Achim Kochi V'Nek Dashti. That you have a requirement to be Mekadesh Shem Shamayim. So if it's a bit for Hesya, there you have Chilul Hashem, and you have a requirement, a positive command. You have a lota say, lota chalot Hashem. You have a positive command to be Mekadesh Shem Shamayim. So that's going to override V'chai Behem. But when it's not for Hesya, there is no din, it sounds V'chai Behem. What Rabbi Shmuel will say by Shvichut Damim and Gilu Arayot is not clear here. Right? Does he say v'chai behem applies to all mitzvot Torah, no matter what? Or does he say it by avodah zarah? Because avodah zarah is unique, meaning that it is something that is ben adam l'makom, as opposed to gilu arayot and however, there's possibly a hano involved and shvichot damim, which involves another party. Maybe over there, Rabbi Shmuel would not say v'chay b'hem. Right, so we have to leave that. The Gemara does not address it, but it's an open question about whether this he simply means avodah zarah or he means implies it to all the three of the cardinal sins. Seems more likely to me that it's located more on avodah zarah itself rather than on the other two mitzvot because of their. We'll see in a second the logic of why. The derivative logic of why you don't say it by the other mitzvot comes from a svara, and that svara should not be upended by b'chai b'hem. So it's possible that Rabbi Shmuel would agree by a rayot and by shvichut damin. Inhu damor k'Rabbi Elazar. They held like Rabbi Elazar. Who says you have to hold like Rabbi Shua? The time Rabbi Elazar omer. V'ahavta et Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshecha b'chol me'o decha. Inhu amar b'chol nafshecha l'man amar b'chol me'o decha. Some people, right, love life more than their possessions. That you have to give up your life for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for Avas Hashem. Some people, their possessions are worth more than their own life. You have to give up all your possessions, meaning that you're required to give up everything for Avat Hashem. And obviously, when it comes to Avodah Zarah is the antithesis of Avat Hashem. It's Bgida Hashem. Right? It's a rebellion against Hashem. So there's a requirement to give up everything for Avat Hashem, and you cannot do Avodah Zarah, which would be the antithesis of Avat Hashem. Gilurei Rayot v'Shvichut Damim k'Derabi. How do I know that Gilurei Rayot and Shvichut Damim are also cardinal sins that you do not violate the sin, but rather give up your life? D'Tanya, Rabbi Omer. So we had this earlier. Ki kasher yakom ish arayot zachol nefesh kein advar zeh. This is in the parsha of Nara Murasa, compares the Nara Murasa to the case of Ritzicha. V'chid amanu mirotzeach. What do we learn from Ratzeach? Miata. Arizeh balu lameid v'nimtzad lameid. Right, it came to teach and ends up learning. Mekish Ratzeach l'nara marasa. It compares Ratzeach to nara marasa. Ma nara marasa nitan atzilo bin nafsho. Just like nara marasa, you're allowed to save him by taking taking his life. Right. But over here, it's interesting, by the way, the girsa. Supposed to on the previous sermon, the girsa was nitan lahatzi la binafsho. Over here, the girsa is nitan lahatzi lo binafsho. You could claim that it's just parallel because of the rotzeach part, which is parallel structure. But if you do that, it comes out that one time the Gemara uses hatzi la, and over here it uses hatzi lo, which have different implications about who you're saving when you kill him. Came back to our discussion from yesterday. Af rotzeach nitan lahatzi lo binafsho. So to rotzeach is saved by his nefesh. And this is why Rashi and Tosfot yesterday had the gears of aflamed. I mean that it's still a two-way street. We learn something from Rotzeach to Naram Rasa. It's not simply that only we learn from Naram Rasa to Rotzeach, that you can save him by killing the Rodef. No, but we also learn something from Rotzeach to Naram Rasa. What's that? Ma Rotzeach yareg v'al yavor. Rotzeach, you have to give up your life and not violate Shvichut Damim. Af Naram Rasa te'areg v'al tavor. Give up your life and do not violate it. It says, Rotzeach kufei minolan. How do you know Rotzeach? I mean, there's an underlying assumption in the Limud that Rotzeach, you don't give up your life. Svaroho. It's a logical argument. This is what, again, what I was saying before, that Rabbi Ishmael might agree to this, because it's simply a logical argument, which is, Da'ud atal kamei de rabba. Came before Rabbah and he had a shiloh. V'amarlei. Amarli Mari Durai, the governor said to me, Zil Katle Laplanya, go kill so and so. Vilo Katlina, Avilo Katlina Lacham. If not, I'll kill you. Samlay the Katluch, let him kill you, and do not kill. Mi Yamar, it's the famous line of the Gemara, Mi Yamar, the Damadidach Sumak Tfei. Who says your blood is redder? Dilma Damadahu Gavra Sumak Tfei. Maybe his blood is redder. Meaning that we don't have a way to assess qualitative differences in the value of life. And therefore over here, if I was to read the Gemara in its simplicity, I would say that this is just a question of Shevi Al Taseh. You have a choice of Kum V'Aseh, go and kill, or Shevi Al Taseh, better to opt for the Shevi Al Taseh because you don't know if your life is worth more than his life. So why should you actively go kill someone else, right, when you have the option to be a Shevi Al Taseh and not be in trouble? That would be the way I would read the Gemara. Rashi does not read the Gemara this way, and that actually creates in some ways some issues for the Rashi. Rashi writes, Svaruhu. So let's see what the Svaruhu is according to Rashi. The Svaruhu and Rashi. Shalom titcha nefesh chaveiro. Why? Deika tarte. We have two things here. Ibud neshama va'aveira. Loss of life and an aveira over here. Mipnei nafsho, because of your, to protect yourself, to leka elechad ibud neshama. For your own life, all you're going to do is the loss of life. Velo yavor. So you have a choice here. That this is the scale. One side of the scale is loss of life. One life. The other side of the scale is loss of one life and aveira. Oh, so you have a choice. Take loss of one life versus loss of one life and aveira. That's what Rashi says. Basically, the scale is here. Tichia machmano lavor al mitzvot, mishum b'chai behem. Wait, the Torah gives you a permission to violate the mitzvot because it says b'chai behem. Mishum diakra beinov neshama shel Yisrael. Because the Kodesh Baruch Hu loves or puts on a high scale the lives of Jews. So the lives of Jews are so important to him, he'd rather save their lives than have them be violated, you know, mean, instead of them having to uphold the mitzvot, better to keep them alive. But over here, Gabi Rotzea came into sof ibud neshama. Over here, no matter what, someone's going to lose their life. Why should it be mutar lavor? Over here, you can't violate the avira. We skip down the next Rashi about the didach sumak tfei. Rashi again writes a very similar thing. How do you know your blood is more beloved than his blood? There's no quality. How do we know the quality of the hilkach? Ain kan lomar v'chay behem. You can't say v'chay behem lo yishabom behem. Why? Shlo hitar katov v'mishir b'chavivut nafsham shal Yisrael l'kodesh baruch hu. V'kan yesh ibud nefesh chaveiro. Lo nitan dvar melech litchot. Shitziva al ha-retzicha. Because he commanded on retzicha, and therefore he says, alright, here's the scale. Let's weigh. One life loss, aveira. Take the one life loss, and skip the aveira. Right? I mean, that's basically the shikul of Rashi. According to this in Rashi, this is Shaul asked this question, but also come up, what happens if he says, listen, I want you to kill this one person, otherwise I'm going to kill 10 of you. According to Rashi, now wait, what's the weight according to Rashi? If you say the reason here is Sheva Al Tase, which would be my reasoning over here, then you still be a Sheva Al Tase. According to Rashi, if there's a scale here and says, listen, 10 people on one side of the scale, one person on the other side of the scale, Ibud Neshamot Yisrael, V'chavivin Kosh Baruch Hu, when you're dealing one and one, maybe you can talk about it. One against 10, I don't know, what do you say in Rashi? Now you could argue that that's the same thing. Qualitatively, we don't know if 10 equals 1. I mean, that's the one argument you make in favor of Rashi. The other answer, which is what you're saying, what would come out of Rashi, is he's going to kill you anyway. Right? If he's going to kill you anyway, maybe there is a heter, and this might come from also the din of that chayech kodmin, that there's a din of chayech kodmin by Hatzalot Nefashot. Right, so now, if you argue over here that either way the neshamot are going to be lost, right now, do we say shevi al tase and don't do a kumbase? No matter what, that's the way I would explain it here. According to Rashi, again, there's going to be ibud neshama over here. One way you save one neshama, the other way you don't. So Rashi says you're allowed to violate averot in order to save neshamot. So over here, like in Shaul's case, where both of you are going to die, or then only one of you are going to die, you're saving a neshama by violating the avera. Maybe it's worthwhile. Rashi does not subscribe to this Sheva Al Tase side of it. Again, Rashi, to me, raises issues that it wouldn't have thought. Other Rishonim learn it simply as a problem of Sheva Al Tase, which makes a lot more sense, or makes it much easier to say, never be a kumbase to kill. Rashi seems to be some sort of waiting here in the neshamot, the saving neshamot. Then we weigh it against the Aveira. Is it worth the Aveira? Is our life saved by the Aveira? And then how do we measure that qualitatively? Again, maybe with 10 against 1, you could argue, again, 10 equals 1. But in the case of Shaul, describes where you're killing, if you're going to lose your life anyway, then maybe there is a value. You can violate Aveirot in order to save a life, and that's what you're doing. So according to Rashi, it might open up that opportunity or that option, which is very difficult to say that you should actively kill someone in order to save your life. That's very, very difficult to say, but might come out of this Rashi. All right, now, Gemara continues. Kiyata Rav Dimi, I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Lo shanu, ela, shalob shat gzerat ha-malchut. All of these dinim is when, the dinim what? That you're mutar to violate the isur and not give up your life. That's only when there's no gzerat ha-shmad. No matter what the mitzvah is, you've got to give up your life. Kiyata Rabin, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, and they had a different version of this. Afilu shalob shat gzerat ha-malchut, lo amr ala bitzin, ah. That's only when it's in private. Aval b'farhesya, right? Mitzvah kala yehareg v'ayavor. If it's in public, there's a separate requirement of v'nikdashti v'toch b'nei Yisrael of Kiddush Hashem, and that's going to override the issue of v'chai b'hem. So again, when you have v'chai b'hem, that can override when it's in private. But it's in public, as a requirement of Kiddush Hashem, right? Then you must give up your life. question is, first of all, Rashi says something here that's very interesting. Why is it by Gzeirat Hashmad you must give up your life for any little mitzvah? So I would have thought, what would you have said? What's the reason that you have to give up your life for any little mitzvah? It's because by Gzeirat Hashmad, they're trying to be oker our religion. Right, they're trying to take it away. We've got to make a stand over here. We've got to take a stand. Every mitzvah now becomes like Avodah Zorah. I mean, every mitzvah now is a kofar be'ikar. They're saying, don't be a Jew. And you say, yes, I'm going to be a Jew. Right? So then everything takes on the value or the elevated to the Avodah Zorah. And therefore, you have to give up your life on it. Listen to Rashi over here. As Rashi says, afil mitzvah kala yereg ve'al yavor. Why? Shelo yargilu avdei chachavim lamrichet levavot lukach. Rashi says that it's not the inherent value of the mitzvah itself. We're afraid that it's going to set a bad precedent. We're afraid that it's going to set a bad precedent. It's not this mitzvah itself, but rather the value, it's at atu. Because this mitzvah is going to cause others to then look at the mitzvahs cheaply. It's going to make people give up in being bogeyed or resisting, right, the persecution over here. It's an unbelievable statement of Rashi there. It's not the inherent value of the mitzvah, but rather what the mitzvah, this giving up in this mitzvah is going to cause people, the outcome of this, or the result of giving up in this mitzvah is going to affect others, it's going to have implications for other mitzvot, right? Therefore, we don't want you to do it. Alright, seems we passed on the halacha, by the way, they're both. So it's obviously that they're not mutually exclusive over here, but that both, b'farhetzia, you're required to give up your life, and also b'gzerat hashmad, one is what you have to give up their life, even if it's not b'farhetzia. Meaning that even when it's not b'farhetzia, you have to give up your life, but not when it's not, b'farhetzia, you have to give up your life, even if it's not gzerat hashmad, and gzerat hashmad, even b'tzina, you're going to have to give up your life. Now, what is a mitzvah kala that you don't give up? So here the Gemara says, I'm mitzvah kala. What is a mitzvah kala? So I'm a rabba bar Rav Yitzchak, I'm a rab, afilo lishnuye akada misano. Even to change, according to Rashi says the shoelaces, right? So read this, Rashi says, srucha now, says the shoelaces. She'im derech ha'ov dechavim dekshor kach, v'derech shel b'yan acher. They tie their shoes with one type of shoelace, color, whatever it is that they do, and you Jews do it a different way. Kagon, sheish, tzad, yahadut bedavar. Number one, there has to be something that is Jewish about it. V'derech Yisrael yot snuim. And the way of B'nai Yisrael is yot snuim. V'afil shinu zeh she'en kan mitzvah l'minhag ba'alma. There's no mitzvah, but just a minhag. Yekadesh et Hashem b'fnei chavirav Yisrael, v'ayim b'feresia medaber b'Yisrael. Right? B'feresia we're talking about is Yisrael. We'll see that in a second. So now, what's the requirement over here? Rashi adds in a requirement which is not necessarily clear. It doesn't have to be this way. When we say afilu mitzvah kala could be anything. Any minhag Yisrael, right? No matter what. Eating, right?
It's not even a din.
Right. Oh, so it's a minhag, but minhag Yisrael. The question is, does the minhag Yisrael have to have some sort of religious tzad to it? Is it just that it's associated with Jews? Jews eat gefilte fish on Friday night. They say no gefilte fish, right? For Jews anymore? Do you have to stop? Right. Does that become yaragav yavor, or does it have to have a right? Does it have to be a tzad yadus to it? Does it have the minhag have to have some sort of religious, you know, tint to it in order to be Yehareg V'al Yavor? Rashi makes it clear here that it has to have a Tzad Yadut V'davar V'derech Yisrael Yot Tznuim. Right? In the Gemara in Ksuba, some of the Rishonim quote this, I can't remember who it is. I don't know if it was the Gosa Shri or the Meiri. Somebody quotes this Rashi as a proof that you need at least a Tzad Yadus. You have to have some sort of religious side to it. Right, so that it can't simply be anything that Jews do, or a minhag of Jews, that's not enough. It has to be a minhag with a tam yadus, a religious tam to it.
So
Rashi says it's snius. There's some sort of tzad snius here. That's what Rashi says. I mean, I don't know what it is. Rashi doesn't explain what that is, but he says, because derech hashel liot snuim. He says that there is some sort of snius. I don't know what that is, but Rashi clearly makes that statement. Tosfos, on the other hand, takes issue. He says, l'chora mashma d'mnaleim mishunim shalakom. Says, it sounds like here they wore different shoes than the non-Jews. So Tosfos says in the end, he can't say that. He brings lots of proofs of that. In the end, he says, that the shoelaces were different. The shalakum shkorot, they used to wear black shoelaces, v'shel levanot, and the Jews wore white shoelaces. Umasane uchme b'chol duchte ayinu ritzuot shkorot. Anytime in the Torah, in the Gemara, it says, masane uchme, it means, even that doesn't mean the black shoe, it means black shoelaces. So imagine, all the Jews walked around with black shoes and white shoelaces. I don't know what type of fashion statement that was, but they had, Jews wore around with black shoes, white shoelaces, and the non-Jews had black shoelaces. That's what Tosa says, and that's what we're talking about here. Tosa doesn't seem to require any religious, doesn't make any comment about the religious significance of this or why they wore white shoelaces versus black shoelaces over here. All right, now, Gemara says, and even here, Tosfos actually brings someone, a Jew, who wore black shoelaces in order to show that he was al churban habayit. So that's it's interesting, right, that he did that. So that means that how strong, I don't even know how strong a minog it was. That's the way the Tosfos learns it. All right, now, v'kama b'farhesia. What is b'farhesia? That's what you're asking. Amar Rabbi Yaakov, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ein b'farhesia b'chuta ma'asara b'nei Adam. You have to have 10 people there. Pshita Yisraelim b'inan. You need 10 Jews to be b'farhesia. Non-Jews do not matter. It's all about Jews over here. Dechtevi nikdashti b'toch b'nei Yisrael. Because it's nikdashti. The din of being mekadesh Hashem is b'toch b'nei Yisrael. You have 9 Jews in 1 Nachri. What's the din? Tashma. Let's see. The Dani Rabbi Yana Yachua the Rabbi Chir Ba'ava Atya Toch Toch. Tiv Chalchi Minechtashti B'Toch B'nei Yisrael. Tiv Adam Yitbadu Mitoch Haida Hazot by the Meraglim. Yitbadu Mitoch Haida. Right. When you take, well, it's by Korach, and then we look Eida Eida from the Meraglim. Right. They're talking about 10 over here. So you have to remove yourself Mitoch Hazot. Malah Nasarav B'Kulu Yisrael. Just like by the Meraglim, all 10 of them were Jews. It's got to be 10 Jews. They wanted to be B'Farhesia. You require 10 Jews. Afkan is Asarav B'Kulu Yisrael. To be 10 Jews in order to be B'Farhesia, that qualify as B'Farhesia, has to be 10 Jews, and the Gzerah has to be, you have to be there. The choice has to be given in front of those Jews about what you do, and you have to make that choice in front of them. I mean, that's B'Farhesia. Right now, where I asked a very interesting question. Vaha Esther B'Farhesia Havu. Wait a minute. Oh, wait. If you have to give up your life B'Farhesia, whenever it's a din B'Farhesia, Esther! Esther's a public issue. She's a Jewish girl in the king's palace. Everybody knows, right, that she has arayot with Achashverosh. How come she was allowed to go and be with Achashverosh? All right, so that's a good question. We'll come up in a second, if whether there is an issue. All right, now, all the Rishonim asked a question. I'll get back to it in a second. Wait, the Gemara skipped over one question I should have asked, which is, why did you have to get to B'Farhesia? We have 3 cardinal sins that you have to give your life for, which are Shvichut Damim, Gilui Arayot, and Avodah Zarah. This is Gilui Arayot. Why does the Gemara just say, Ha Esther, Gilui Arayotu? Why is the Gemara saying, Ha Esther, B'Farhesia? Why do you even have to get to B'Farhesia? Start with Gilui Arayot. So this is actually, there are numerous answers given by Rishonim, which have major, major nafkaminot alocha, which is, I'll read you the answers here in the Gemara. Amar Abaye, Esther karko olam haita. Abaye says, Esther was passive in this case. Since she was passive, that's enough to mitigate the problem of B'Farhesia. She was taken against her will. Everything was done against her will. And since it's done against her will, she had no obligation to give up her life over here. Rav Amar hanat atzman shiny. When it's done for the benefit of the perpetrator of the crime, not for religious reasons, there we don't have a requirement to give up your life. Over here, it's for Achashverosh's benefit. He's not doing anything religiously in terms of arayot over here. He's not making her violate arayot for a religious reason. She's making him violate arayot because he wants to sleep with her. Dilo temahachi. If you don't say this, how could it be that we give these urns, it seems like these coal urns or these fires that they used to warm up, heaters, that they used to give to the Persians on their holidays, how come we're allowed to? They come by our houses, they ask for them, and we give them over to them. How come we don't say, wait a minute, you can't do that? Because it's a problem of Yehareg V'Yavorg, it's a problem of Avodah Zarah. It says, El Hanat Atzman Shiny. It's clear that Anat Atzman is shiny because they're just taking them to warm themselves up. That's not they're not taking them for religious reasons from you. They're taking because they want heaters in their Beit Avodah Zarah. Achanami Anat Atzman shiny. It's also over here. V'az the Rova L'tamei. Rova is according to his own reasoning. The Amar Rova Akum. The Amar Leila Ha Yisrael. K'tol Asafsito. Go ahead and cut down this, I don't know if you want to call it hay, grass, some sort of vegetation that you need to cut down. B'Shabta on Shabbos. Vishadi lechiyuta, and then feed it to my animals. Vilo katlin lecha. If not, I'll kill you. Liktel follow the katle. It says, cut the grass and don't die. So it's shadi lenarav. It says, cut the grass and throw it into the river. Liktle velo liktel. Then take the death penalty and don't cut the grass. My taima davuri milta kabai. Because he's trying to cause it. I mean that if he's telling you to feed his animal, that's hanat atzman. And at that time, you can violate the Shabbos. There's no requirement, right, to give up your life. Obviously, it has to be a time of Gzeirat Hashmad or something here, that there would be a requirement to give up your life for Shabbos. Right? He says, throw it into the river. He's clearly trying to do it, what? To force you to give up the mitzvah of Shabbos. He doesn't need the grass, well, otherwise he would have to throw it in the river. To make it throw in the river, because all he wants you to do is to violate the Shabbos. He's doing it specifically to violate the Shabbos. There you have to give up your life, because it's Gzeirat Hashmad, and therefore you have to give up your life in this instance. So now you see that Hanat Atzman is shiny. When the Akum does it for his own personal benefit, causes you to violate a Veira for his own personal benefit, then there is no din of Yehareg V'al Yavor.
Is that the Matir Gzuz who could be as a Hegmon?
All right, very good. So how do we do?
He did it to everybody.
Right. Okay, very good. So that question comes up. That is subject to now the Machlokas. Why do we over here, why do we only talk about Esther Befarhesia Havia? And what about Esther Arayot Havia? What's the answer? So really three, four answers that are given by the Rishonim over here. First answer we'll give is by Rabbeinu Tam. This is the Teretz Rabbeinu Tam. The Ramban, the Raivud, and the Ramban and the Mechomot in here on the Rif, on this sugya also says a similar item, brings down this as well. The Raivud also brings a similar thing on criticizing of the Balamur, this reasoning of the Rabbeinu Tam. And here, it's in this Tosos right here, it says, V'teretz Rabbeinu Tam, De'ein chayavim mita abilat oved kochavim. This is what you asked before. So, there is no chiyuv mita for bilat oved kochavim. The shum derachman afkarei lezareid oved kochavim. The bia of an oved kochavim, if a Ben Noach comes and sleeps with a Israelite, right, and forces her, there is no din of, there's no chiyuv mita. There's no chiyuv mita in that. It's not in the classification of the arayot that you have to give up your life for, according to the Rabbeinu Tam. Mutokach, because of this, because the bia of an oved kochavim is not classified as bia. So listen to what the Rabbeinu Tam wants to be matter on this. Mutokach hayer rotzein Rabbeinu Tam latir bat Yisrael shemira. The bat Yisrael who went ahead and she left the faith. Right? Ubala oved kochavim, and while she was, right, left the faith, she had a relationship or relations with an oved kochavim. V'shuv nitgayer. And then she comes back. And this non-Jew is also nitgayer. Ima lekaima bi'adut. That she can keep her as a wife. By general, we have a principle that when a woman has an extramarital affair, she's not only impermissible to her husband now, she's also impermissible to the Boel, to the one who she had the affair with. That we learn from the Gemara in Sota, that she's restricted to both of them. Rabbeinu Tam says that the Bia of an Oved Kochavim is not classified as a Bia. It's not classified as a bia. It's not classified as a bia, right? Then, when she now goes and she gives up her faith, leaves the faith of Judaism, goes ahead and has an affair with this non-Jewish man while she's left the faith, then returns, and this person is nitzgayer, can she keep him as a husband? Rabbeinu Tam says yes. It's not bia. It's not bia. If it's not bia, then when she brings it back, it's not considered echad the boel. Then Tzvi asks, what do you mean? Wait, she had an extramarital affair. Wait, then she should be able to go back to her husband as well. So there I think you have to distinguish. I heard this, I said this, and then afterwards I saw my brother-in-law told me that over in the name of Avraham Lichtenstein that he says the same thing. That for the Rabbeinu Tam, you have to differentiate between bigida, which is the reason that you don't return to the baal, or the reason why the woman is now restricted to the husband is because the only thing the woman has to do is rebel, right? Or has to do something that clearly rejects the husband. A begida with the husband, that's the baal. Over here, when she goes and has bia with a obi chavim, even though it's not classified as a halachic bia, it's still a begida. It's still a begida on the baal, and therefore, if the baal did kina and stira with an obi chavim, he warned her, and she sleeps with obi chavim, then she's subject to sota because of that. Because even though the question is not, it's not a bia, but it's still a begida, it's still a rebellion against the husband. Okay, so it won't be classified as a bia, but it is a rebellion. You have to make that distinction in the Rabbeinu Tam, that she still qualifies, it's still classified, number one, maybe as an extramarital affair. It may be classified for sota, as a din and frota, you have dukina and stira. But the gabe, the boel, himself, he's not classified as a boel, because he doesn't have a din of bia, according to the Rabbeinu Tam. So Rabbeinu Tam solves the problem here of Esther by saying, there's no bia here, there's no arayot. If you eliminate arayot, that's why the Gemara only has one question, is b'farhestia. That's one answer. The Rivam rejects the Rabbeinu Tam outright and says, what are you talking about? There is definitely arayot when it comes to a Ovedet Kochavim. When it comes to Ovedet Kochavim, there's definitely arayot. There's no question here. He brings numerous proofs to this fact. There still is a din of arayot. Balamor also says the same thing. The Balamor here on the Rif says the same thing. There's definitely a din of arayot over here. But they answer the problem. Now, once you have arayot, they answer the problem differently. The Balamor says, Hanat Atzman Shari. The Balamor says that when it comes to Hanat Atzman, you always are mutar. Hanat Atzman overrides, arayot overrides everything. Even all of the cardinal sins. It overrides every single one of them for Hanat Atzman. So he says, wait, by Avodah Zarah and Shfichut Damim, there's no such concept as Hanat Atzman. Because Hanat Atzman doesn't apply in those cases to where you can have the Avera simply be Hanat Atzman. But by Arayot, you can have a case of Hanat Atzman. The Balamor is willing to take it so far as to say that if a non-Jewish woman comes along and says to a man, a Jewish man, sleep with me or I'll kill you, you can sleep with the woman according to the Balamor. Because it's Hanat Atzman. Hanat Atzman is Shari. By Arayot, there is no restriction against Hanat Atzman. So now you ask me over here, oh, but is there also we worried about the giving them the objects to work with Avodah Zarah? That's Hanat Atzman over there, right? So over here we answer up that Hanat Atzman works by Avodah Zarah. The Rebbe Balamor says, no, that's not real Avodah Zarah. That's only Lifnei Iver Lo Titen Michshol. Because you weren't worshiping Avodah Zarah, you were giving them something to do Avodah Zarah, that they might have used for Avodah Zarah. So we say, Hanat Atzman, Shari. So Rebbeinu, the Balamor says over there, that's the heter of Lifnei Iver Lo Titen Michshol. So the Balamor basically explains, it's unbelievable, the Balamor says that Hanat Atzman is an overarching heter in everything. If it's Hanat Atzman, you are never required to give up your life by Hanat Atzman. That's the heter. So that applies to Arayot, both for a male and a female. Or he says, even if there's a Rish'ah, this evil Jewish woman comes along and says to a Jewish man, I'll kill you or you have to sleep with me. Balamor says, go ahead and sleep with her. Because it's Hanat Atzman. Hanat Atzman, Shari. There over there, we say Hanat Atzman is Shari. We don't protect. That's the Bala. Balamor Shita is that Hanat Atzman is Mutar across the board, no matter what. Many take issue with the Balamor, especially because the Gemara's in other places seem to see there's a distinction between a man and a woman. A man and a woman, there's a distinguishment between whether the man is considered to be Kishur Ladat, right, that he has active role in sleeping with a woman, and therefore he's not allowed to do it, even when it's Hanat Atzman, as opposed to a woman. And they make that distinction, so they reject the Balamor. Well, if you reject the Balamor, then what are you going to do? How do you solve the problem? So there are one other way to solve the problem is the Tosfot over here. Tosfot over here comes up with a solution which says that you're only required to give up your life when it's a kum ve'aseh. You're not required to give up your life when it's a shev ve'al taseh. Shev ve'al taseh. Over here, the woman, Esther, is a shev ve'al taseh. She does nothing. She is a completely passive participant in this. She's a completely passive participant here. She does nothing. And that's what the Tosfos says over here. A woman is always classified as a passive participant. She is a passive participant. She does not have a requirement of Tehareg V'al Tavor. There's only a requirement of Yehareg V'al Yavor, not a requirement of Tehareg V'al Tavor. So that's the din of Tosfos. Tosfos says, I'll prove it to you. If someone comes along to you and says, listen, either you kill so-and-so, or we're going to tie you up and throw you on this baby, and it will kill the baby. Then over there, he says, he's offered that option, then he says he doesn't have to do anything. I mean, that he doesn't have to worry that they're going to throw him on the baby. He's not a rotzeach there. Why? Because he's a shev v'al taseh. He's passive. He's not actively killing the baby. They're throwing him on the baby. They're doing the ritzicha, not him. So those proofs from there. You see that Shev Al Taseh is not Chayav. But whether it's by Ritzicha, whether it's by Rayot, it does not apply over here. So Tosfos says it's a huge Chiddush in Tosfos that Shev Al Taseh does not have a din of, right, Yerav Val Yavor. Comes to a head actually in a Girsa in the Rif in Pesachim. The Girsa in the Rif by Pesachim and by Arayot. It says by Nara Murasa, it says, Af Nara Murasa, just like by a Rotseach, you have to be Yehareg V'al Yavor, Af by Nara Murasa. What's the din? By Nara Murasa, there are two Girsas. The Girsa in the Rif is Tehareg V'al Tavor. Tehareg V'al Tavor refers to the woman. So many change, the Baal HaMor goes in and changes the Girsa, right? He says that's the wrong Girsa. The Girsa should be Yehareg Val Yavor. There's no requirement for the woman to give up her life, only for the man by the Nara Amaruasa to give up his life. Not the woman. The Girsa and the Rish should be Yehareg Val Yavor, not Tehareg Val Tavor. So there's a machlokas in the Girsa of the Rif. The Rabbi rejects that and says, no, that it should read, Tehareg V'al Tavor, that the woman's also required to give up her life, even when it's a Sheval Taseh. That brings us to the Rambam. The Rambam makes no distinction like the Tosas. When it comes to a woman, he does never says that a Shevi Al Taseh is not Chayav. There's a very famous Rav Chaim over here. The Rav Chaim on the Rambam says, well, okay, the Tosas seems to make a lot of sense. He has a proof from Notzeach that when you throw the person on the baby, he's patur. You see, Shevi Al Taseh is patur. So same thing by, it should be the same thing by Naram Rasa. It should be the same thing by Rayot. Shevi Al Taseh is patur. The Rabbeinu Chaim, the Gnirsh, it says, no way. He says over there, you're not a rotzeach. When he throws you on the, when the person throws you on the baby, you're not a rotzeach. You're not even doing a ma'aseh ritzicha. That's why you're potter over there. You do nothing. You're not even classified as a rotzeach. Right? That's not. Lule, there was a case of sheva altes and ritzicha, you would be chayav to give up your life. There, you're not a rotzeach at all. But if there was a Sheva Al-Tasa, you would be chayav to give up your life in all these cases. And therefore, the Rambam rejects the Tosos over here. He rejects the idea that you have to give up your life, that you don't have to give up your life by a Sheva Al-Tasa, and there's no such distinction. All right, so now, based on this, we have, so far, I've given you three answers to why Esther is not a problem. We had the Baal HaMor, which says, Anat Atzman Shiny. Right, we had the Rabbeinu Tam, who says that it's not a problem. Boel, right, by a Nachri is not a problem. And we had this, the Rivam over here, which is also what the Raivud suggests, as well as the Ramban, Sibta Shazeres, that it's a Shev V'al Taseh. And then, there's one more possibility, is that there's the Ran in Psachim. So this is it. So the Ran here distinguishes between what the punishment is, between how, whether it has to be with Boel Nachrit, or Nachrit, Nachri is Boel. But the case of Nachri Boel, right, Abal Bat Yisrael, that is a din from Beit Din Oshel Shem. Over there, since it's only a mitzvah from Beit Din Oshel Shem, Yarevor V'al Yareg. On the other hand, when we have the case of Nachri Abal Bat Yisrael, which is a din of Chai V'Lavin, over there you have to be Hareg V'al Yavor. Alright, there are others that reject it because there's a din of Kanaim Pogimbo. Kanaim Pogimbo applies in either direction and then should be, according to the Ran. The Ran distinguishes between what the source for the Isser is. The source for the Isser is Beit Din Oshel Shem, then you don't have a din of Yehareg V'al Yavor. But if the source of it is Alav Min HaTorah, then you have a din of Yehareg V'al Yavor. So those are four answers here, and all of them have major nafkaminot la'alocha about what the din is. I mean that whether Hanat Atzman is a complete heter, like the Baal HaMor, who says that even a man has a heter of Hanat Atzman. Tosus says Sheva Al Taseh. If you're passive, you have a heter. There's no Yehareg V'al Yavor. Tehareg V'al Tavor by passive, Sheva Al Taseh. Right, and then you have the Ran, who says it depends on the source of the Isur, and then the Rabbeinu Tam, of course, which is a very, very mechudesh thing, that the Bia of Anochri does not require Yagvayot, because the Bia of Anochri is not even classified as a Bia. Right, so all of these have major nafkaminos alocha. The differences in their answers to solve the problem over here have major nafkaminot in Yereg Val Yavor. The last comment I will make here about this, and then we'll move on just to finish up the Talmud, is that it's very interesting over here. The Baal HaMor raised the issue that why is it by these kavakim and demonike that you can give them over, these heaters that you can give it to him? Says, lifnei iver, that's why Hanat Atzman works over here. That's why you're patur by Hanat Atzman. But what the Baal HaMor says is lifnei iver, and that's why it's okay by Hanat Atzman. Other Rishonim make it clear, the Ramban, the Raivid over here say that yes, it's lifnei iver. You know what this proves? This proves to you that if you have lifnei iver of Avodah Zarah, there's a din like Avodah Zarah, you would have to give up your life. If it were not for the heter of Hanat Atzman, You would have to give up your life for Lifnei Iver Lo Titen Michshol. That's an amazing concept because there's a Chakira in Lifnei Iver Lo Titen Michshol. Is Lifnei Iver Lo Titen Michshol an independent mitzvah? Or does Lifnei Iver become a part and partial of every mitzvah? What's the Nafkaminot? This is one of the Nafkaminot. Do we say Yerayeg V'al Yavor by Lifnei Iver Avodah Zarah? It's Lifnei Iver Avodah Zarah. Do we say that it's a separate mitzvah? Oh, other mitzvahs don't have a requirement of Yerayeg V'al Yavor. Or do we say it's a snif? It's a derivative of Avodah Zarah. It's a derivative of Avodah Zarah. You have to give up your life for Lifnei Iver by a Avodah Zarah. And that's what it seems like. According to Balamor, no. But according to the other Rishonim, we say Lifnei Iver is complete Avodah Zarah over here. The only heter is Hanat Atzman. Hanat Atzman lets you off the hook over here. But if it were not for Hanat Atzman, then Lifnei Iver would require to give you of your life if it was Lifnei Iver for Avodah Zarah. That's a pretty amazing, right, amazing concept that Lifnei Iver is a snif of Avodah Zarah in this way. Right now, Boy Minei Rabbi Yami Ben Noach Mitzuvah al Kedushat Hashem or Ein Mitzuvah al Kedushat Hashem. Is it Ben Noach required to keep Mitzuvah Kedushat Hashem or not keep Kedushat Hashem? So here we discussed this earlier about the Shiva Mitzvah Bnei Noach. The Gemara says here, Rabbi Tashma Shiva Mitzvah Nistavu Bnei Noach. Seven Mitzvah of Bnei Noach. V'mi'ita Tamei Avi. And if that's the case, there are eight. So Mei Rava Inhu V'Chol Abizrayu. They and all of their derivatives. So what does it mean, Inu v'Israel? Rashi says, I would have read the Gemara simply, is Inu v'chol b'Israel is that Kedushat Hashem is a derivative of Avodah Zarah. It's a derivative of Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah is that you can't do things. You have to keep Hashem, you have to make Hashem monotheistic, the only God. So if you don't do, if you do his mitzvah, then fine. If you don't do his mitzvah, it's like almost like a violation of Avodah Zarah. Rashi says, no. Avodah Zarah, kol midei l'shayach v'hu Kedushat Hashem shayach v'hu. Anything that has relevance in Kedusha Hashem is relevant to them. Dimalor avolo ton mitzvoto yehareik. Im lo yikadesh et Hashem yavor alehem. Fine. According to Bei Noach, we'll have to make a decision every time when it comes to being yeharag v'al yavor by mitzvah mitzvah Noach. Is this Kedusha Hashem or not Kedusha Hashem? If there's no Kedusha Hashem, I violate the mitzvah, no problem. If it is a Kedusha Hashem, then I have to do the Kedusha Hashem and I have to die. Rashi says that's the decision. The decision is in every mitzvah, whether there's also a mitzvah overriding Kedusha Hashem involved in it or not. I would have read it differently. I would have read it that Kiddush Hashem is just the snif of Avodah Zarah, right, as of one of the mitzvot, whereas Rashi reads it as a overarching theme in all the mitzvot. So my havi Allah, what's the din? Amar Rabbi Ada, Amar Rabbi Rav, Ktiv, V'davar zeh Hashem yislach Hashem labadecha, V'vo Adoni Beit Rimon nishtachavot shama, V'u nishan ayadi v'ishtachaviti. Over there it says, it's not mine. After Elisha cures him from his tzarat, over there he says, I believe in God, but unfortunately I'm going to have to go back, and my master is going to go, he leans on me when he bows down to the Avodah Zarah, and I'm going to have to bow down with him. So there, Chtiv Ayomer Lo Lech L'Shalom, and Elisha says, go ahead, no problem. V'mita Lo Leimile. Right, so he says, over there, don't say anything to him. So, Ha, Betzino, Ha Beferesio, wait a minute. You can't prove anything over there because that is only a Betzino over there. Over here, it's Beferesio. We're asking the question, talking about Kiddush Hashem. Over there, it was in private. Nobody knew what he was doing. Nobody knew that what was happening with him. There were no 10 Jews over there. No 10 Jews over there, then it's not a Kiddush Hashem. Over here, we're asking about a case where it is a Kiddush Hashem. So I'm not sure. You can't prove from here what the din is. What's amazing that turns out here is that a Ben Noach is Chayav in Kiddush Hashem, according to this Gemara. It might be Chayav in Kiddush Hashem. Chayav in Kiddush Hashem, but the Kiddush Hashem has to be in front of 10 Yisraelim. But if I ask you, or Kiddush Hashem can only accomplish him in 10 Yisraelim. So he's Chayav in Kiddush Hashem, but Kiddush Hashem only applies when there are 10 Jews in there. So you have a din of Kiddush Hashem that doesn't apply inside of his own world of Ben Noach. It only applies if he's a Ben Noach in front of 10 Jews. All right, so we'll stop over here.